Okay, he's here and just doing everything possible to stay on top of this avalanche of information. A lot of it, unfortunately, is crude. It is raw lies, untruths, misdirection, fakery, fraud, and it's dwelling now on the edges, if not already immersed thoroughly in the world of science fiction. Some of the stuff that's being thrown out there to try to keep people confused is mind-boggling. We're going to go through some of that this hour to give you an idea of the lies being thrown out through the all-too-complicit mainstream media. Are you there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah. Did you have fun trick-or-treating?
No, you'd never know it was Halloween here.
Did you see any evidence at all?
I do think, yes, I did see a couple trick-or-treaters in the downtown area, but none locally, no. I think Halloween's pretty much a bygone thing.
Well, it's a, yes, and it's another obvious indication that our society is pretty much a bygone thing. Only to the extent that the big candy makers, the poison merchants, can make money will Halloween continue. It's just sad. It's sad to see.
It is.
And it's happening. Okay, hold on one second. I got to send this off here. Okay. That's good. Now, what we're going to try and display for you to observe and evaluate this hour are a number of examples of the chaos that is now being unleashed on those of us in the 20% and the 80% who are actually doing something significant to try to process data and understand what the hell's going on here. And what's going on here is nothing less than the deployment of an absolutely cold, stone-cold killer of a bioweapon. This thing has been put out there, and it is doing exactly what it was designed to do. Do remember, this is a Department of Defense operation, and the DOD does not have a glorious history of caring about the public health. Their history is the history of killing, and they're doing it very, very well with this incredibly advanced and sophisticated bioweapon. I am now seeing, as is Erica, and she's been bringing this to my attention every day, there are very serious efforts to penetrate and take over the critically important social media groups where people can go and talk about whatever it is that their so-called vax injuries are. Myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots. I don't know how many groups there are. The big groups to us were died suddenly. Tremendous indicators about what's happening. You won't find it anywhere in the control media. And the other group, of course, the shedding group, which has been a key to helping all of us understand how this is being spread to the unvaxxed. And it is being spread to the unvaxxed. We have new videos by Dr. Ryan Cole, Sukrit Bhakti. We had Dr. Bhakti on with us the other night, courtesy of recordings of videos that he has been, he's got several out now. We played part of one of them. And yet we have other people who are now spewing some of the most inane, asinine, stupid word salads ever seen. And Attorney Todd Callender is one of them. We're going to play you a video from La Cucu Columna, here for and forever renamed. That's what they are. They're cuckoo. It's obviously a deep state platform, whether it's our deep state or GCHQ in England. I think that La Quinta Columna is clearly a deep state operation of disinformation. And some of you might say, what are you talking about? Well, you need to watch what they're doing. We're going to play a video and we're going to point some things out to you that may help you understand how we see it. We're not telling you what to think, but we're going to present information for you to hopefully engage in that process a little more effectively, because there are a lot of fence sitters still who don't want to believe that we are being lied to the astonishing extent that in point of fact we are being deceived. It's stunning. It's all being pushed around now, the confusion with terms. Transhumanism is back, 5G is back, hydrogels are back, cesium-137 is a new kid on the block, we're going to talk about that. And then we have, don't forget, there are no such things as spike proteins. They're biological AI parasites, all right? So you get the idea. It's a semantic war on the terminology that they're using with great effect on a lot of people. They're tricking them, they're confusing them, and it's really pathetic to see.
Yeah, well said. Very well said. It really to me, it's blatantly obvious what's going on now. I mean, you know, with the vaccine, quaxine resistors, they're out to divide what's left of this group and create confusion. But the disturbing thing is that they are trying desperately to convince people that the shedding, yeah, it happens, but it's not a big deal. You can detox from it. But not by using ivermectin. No, that's a big pharma drug. So they're trying to scare people off of that, along with HCQ, although people don't talk too much about HCQ, probably because you can't really get it as easily as you could get ivermectin. But, you know, people who have been seriously sickened by shedding, the one predominant thing that does seem to help them is the ivermectin, and it works rather quickly. If it is going to work, you'll know.
The key to ivermectin is to take it soon, early. Don't wait.
Yeah, the earlier the better. Shut whatever it is that's, you know, the biological aspects of it down. And it works through multiple ways with both the spike protein and the virus and parasites and a range of other viruses and to some degree bacteria. But it's probably the best thing that we have right now. I mean, there are some contraindications, so you do need to do a little bit of research. It's not a medication that you would want to have penetrate the brain. So if it's possible you have a leaky blood-brain barrier, that needs to be considered. And then if you are taking other pharmaceuticals, some of the blood pressure medications, cholesterol drugs, protease inhibitors, you need to consider that as well. But for the most part, it's very, very safe drug.
It's about
as natural as aspirin. It is derived from a plant, and it's been purified, but not much adulterated beyond that, isolated and purified so that it's suitable for consumption. But
very
they are desperately trying
effects.
To smear its benefits, desperately.
Yeah. Now, it might as well be arsenic in a tube. If you look at what they're saying,
yes.
Don't do it. Don't, for God's sakes, don't do it. No, it's one of the safest, we'll call it a pharmaceutical. It's one of the safest pharmaceuticals in history. Some people say the safest. So there you go. But if you're in ill health or have suspicions that you may be suffering from anything that might be contraindicated in terms of ivermectin, by all means, do the research. It's out there. You can find almost anything now if you look for it. And when I mentioned the things that are being thrown at us now, and I speak collectively, we're all being exposed to this horror, and the top three platforms, Mikey the Health Ranger, Alex Jones and InfoWars and Beef Stew's Diner, they're giving us a lot of crap, and they're bringing on guests who will look you right in the eye, well, they'll look the TV camera in the eye, and they'll start telling us things like, there are no spike proteins. Nope. These are biological, self-assembling AI parasites. Or magnetic AI hydrogels. Or 5G or 4G boosted. Or transhumanism. Cesium. Now, the cesium twins, I call them, the 134 and 137. They're saying cesium-137 now. Well, I'll tell you where cesium-137 is a little later. But the granddaddy of all, back for its third time, I think, as the big villain, is graphene oxide. Graphene oxide, they will tell you, is virtually everywhere in these vials. And unfortunately, there are a lot of real first world, first class scientists who have looked in these vials, and they can't find any graphene oxide to speak of. It's not there. But that doesn't matter to the spinners of fiction and fable. They don't care. They'll just throw it at you anyhow. And they repeat it over and over again, and they'll just look right smack in that camera or their interviewer, and they'll say it. And if they repeat it often enough, a lot of people unfortunately begin to accept it. That's human psychology. So graphene oxide.
If you notice it, they're all the big three are all reinforcing the same narrative right now.
Yes, they are.
So they got to go in a circular motion.
Not a coincidence.
And they will not, you know, allow these people these legitimate laboratories and competent other scientists to come on and refute anything that's being said about this nonsense right now.
No, it's all pushing the same narrative. There's no even reasonable effort to look like you're being objective about anything. They're just pushing it. Graphene oxide is it. Graphene oxide can do virtually anything to you that is anti-life. No, it's just not true.
It's bizarre. I don't think most people understand that it is a form of carbon. It's an allotrope of carbon, allotrope being a distinct molecular arrangement of the carbon molecules. So it, you know, it looks like a chicken wire. It's all flat hexagons. But it's carbon, and it is pervasive in the environment because we did evolve with it. And now people have been made to fear it. They think it's been in the vaccines, and even if it was, which there's, you know, little consensus that it is there, it would not be capable of doing what these people believe it's doing.
We've had
mercury and aluminum and all kinds of rare earth metals that have contaminated our vaccines for at least a decade, probably more. I mean, the mercury was put in there deliberately. Aluminum's been put in there deliberately. Those are neurotoxic.
And how many contaminants get put in there through shoddy manufacturing of these things? Lots.
Yes.
Lots of them. And they look like all kinds of strange otherworldly presences. And now, what was the other one? They were saying that they have these little nano-sized constructing machines.
Oh, micro-robots, right? Micro-robots?
That's it, something like that, yeah. God, it's really getting out there. It's loopy. And unfortunately, they're dumping so much so fast that the average person has no chance of staying up with it. They can't. And if they happen to like somebody and say, well, that Karen Kingston, yeah, she looks like a real good, solid person, and or whomever, or Alex, it doesn't matter. It's your guru. Yeah.
I've noticed there's a pattern now where they'll go dig up a patent on something and then, you know, wave it around and say, here's the proof.
That's proof. No, it's not proof. And for you newcomers, there are patents out there, millions of patents, and probably 90% of them, I don't know, someone told me that at one point, I can't vouch for it, but let's just say a large number of the patents really never panned out. Because you patent something doesn't mean it works.
Right.
It's a claim of ownership. Intellectual ownership. Okay, I created this. But does it work? That's not part of the patent process. That you go through the alleged government regulatory agencies for. Har har, like we have any. Okay, La Cucu Columna. We're going to play a little bit of it. I think it was a 10-minute video, and it should eventually show up under our names and guests, and you can look at it yourself. But I just want you to understand that they are jumping on this graphene oxide bandwagon now like nobody's business. Oh, and graphene oxide is now claimed to have been found in mattresses, right? And in India, it's been put in feminine absorptive napkins, we'll call them. And it's supposed to somehow regulate the amount of material being discharged by the human body on a monthly basis if you're a female. So they're proudly announcing that graphene is in these sanitary napkins. And I don't know what other things it's in, but if it's in your mattress.
It's probably just amorphous carbon at the end of the day.
I wouldn't be surprised. But they're calling it graphene, like it's really a neat thing.
Well, graphene would be in there. You know, when you get a pile of carbon, there can be allotropes, fullerenes, and graphene, graphite. Right. It's all carbon.
All right, so let's just keep this in mind as I play this tape video. Look, all right, just listen. I'm going to shut up. Listen to this. Now, you're going to hear a translation because the guy is, I think it's Delgado, is speaking, and you'll hear the translation.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ricardo Delgado, and I am the founder and director of La Quinta Columna. All the vaccines tested, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Janssen, and Moderna, contain exclusively nanotechnology.
And the proof?
We have found nanorouters, which also emit MAC addresses that can be registered with Bluetooth wireless technology by just using your own mobile phone and the...
We've heard this many times and have no solid proof of it yet. There may be something going on here randomly. We don't know, but he's jumped on that one too.
An app. We have found nano antennas and plasmonic antennas for the amplification of these signals.
Nano antennas and plasmonic antennas. Oh, really?
We have also identified nanorectennas, which act as rectifier bridges of alternating direct current.
Codec. Did you get that, friends? Is that going to stick in your mind? Did you understand that? Where's the proof? What is this?
And certain logic gates for the encryption of these nanocommunications emitted from the inoculated individual to a remote server.
Yeah, I'm going to start this again and not say anything. I just want you to listen to this word salad that comes out.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ricardo Delgado, and I am the founder and director of La Quinta Columna. All the vaccines tested, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Janssen, and Moderna, contain exclusively nanotechnology. We have found nanorouters, which also emit MAC addresses that can be registered with Bluetooth wireless technology by just using your own mobile phone and the help of an app. We have found nano antennas and plasmonic antennas for the amplification of these signals. We have also identified nanorectennas, which act as rectifier bridges of alternating direct current. Codecs and certain logic gates for the encryption of these nanocommunications emitted from the inoculated individual to a remote server. The primary material for the elaboration of these microstructural
You ready? The primary material
is graphene oxide, the presence of which is decisive for the self-assembly of these structural complexes. The main mechanisms of exfoliation of graphene oxide within the body into graphene quantum dots are natural...
Excuse me, Erica. The exfoliation of graphene oxide within the human body. Exfoliation. Is that just an unfortunate choice of words? I've got to do this again. This is amazing.
Graphene oxide within the body into graphene quantum dots are natural biodegradation mediated by the enzyme myeloperoxidase and the tesleferesis mechanism, which are microwave electromagnetic fields emitted from mobile phone signals with different frequency ranges.
El óxido de grafeno inyectado dentro del cuerpo adquiere propiedades...
Graphene oxide injected into the body acquires magnetic properties in contact with hydrogen and living cells. This is why most vaccinated people have this exacerbated magnetism at the point of inoculation, and subsequently in the upper solar plexus and the skull.
So it's the graphene oxide that makes you magnetic. I get it. I think graphene oxide does just about everything, doesn't it, so far?
According to them...
That's one hell of a list. I just.
By the way, the magnet phenomenon, actually, you can find entries in the Guinness Book of World Records for people that have been sticking metal things like frying pans and spoons and all manner of things to themselves going back decades.
I saw that as a kid.
And they still don't know why that is. They think there may be some genetic peculiarity about these people. They don't seem ill or anything, and you know, we never had the wireless issue way back, so that it is why that's happening is unknown, but we do have iron in us, and that is magnetic.
Okay, here we go. Let's go back. I'll back it up just a little bit.
Contact with hydrogen and living cells. This is why most vaccinated people have this exacerbated magnetism at the point of inoculation, and subsequently in the upper solar plexus and the skull. Graphene oxide is detected in the body by our immune system as if it were a pathogen. Once injected, it has an affinity for the central nervous system. Basically, the spinal cord in our brain, because of its higher electrical conductivity.
See, what he's really talking about is the spike protein. But
yeah, I was just thinking that.
Graphene oxide.
They're assigning all of the attributes that we know about the spike to graphene.
It's almost verbatim. Exactly.
In the central nervous system, it causes immobilization of limbs, strokes, paraplegia, and alteration of the nervous system.
Spike protein, 100%.
Alteración del sistema nervioso. El óxido de grafeno tiene un factor.
Graphene oxide has a blood clotting factor and increases thrombogenicity or thrombus proliferation.
No, the spike protein causes amyloid clotting by virtue of making normal endogenous proteins misfold. They're functionless, and they stick together and create fibrils, and they build amyloid clots. It's all being blamed on graphene oxide now. Do you see? Have you heard this man say spike protein, amyloidosis, amyloid clots one time? Not a chance.
The ultimate consequence of thrombi is all kinds of cardiovascular accidents, such as embolisms, ischemias, strokes, aneurysms, etc. Graphene oxide also has an affinity for electrical organs, such as our heart, especially when its cardiac activity increases, and therefore its electrical activity.
He's describing the spike protein.
Funny, isn't it?
This is really something.
At that moment, this graphene oxide targets the heart and inflames it, generating myocarditis or pericarditis. In addition, graphene oxide has the ability to absorb electromagnetic radiation from our environment and multiply it with a transistor effect. Thus, it generates small discharges that cause arrhythmias in our cardiac system. This explains why so many athletes are suffering from arrhythmias when they have increased cardiac activity.
No, they're dying from amyloid clots or some kind of electrical interrupt in their autonomic nervous system that shuts their heart down. This is absurd.
Consequences of these arrhythmias are fainting, blackouts, or syncope, linked or not to unexpected or sudden death. A large part of our vaccinated population is suffering unexpected or sudden death when interacting near these microwave sources.
Here comes the 5G.
Graphene oxide also has the capacity to generate mutagenesis, chromosomal alteration, and cancer, so that those people who have recently suffered tumors are neoplasms. After vaccination, will rapidly resurface a line of metastases.
Okay, that's enough. We've spent a long time, we're almost 2 years into this effort to make sense of it all, explaining to you, and you all know, exactly why and how we have an explosion of unstoppable cancers. It's not graphene oxide. It's the deadliest protein ever created by humankind. Spike. That's what it is. You go back to Dr. Chetty, and he said it. He knew it. So here's the big PR effort now to confuse people even more. Not one mention of spike protein. Forget it. Not going to happen. It's now graphene oxide. La cucu columna. And the video should be up for your viewing. You got to look at this thing. It's another, I don't know, 12 minutes of it. It's really something. It's almost like they wrote a script and removed the spike protein and inserted graphene oxide. But that's how
right.
misdirection works. That's
right.
Quite amazing.
And they, again, you know, it's this same narrative now being repeated over and over and over again. And very, it seems to me the effort is to get people's attention off of the spike. And
absolutely. Yep.
Perhaps if you could figure out what it's doing, if you understood its effects, you might be able to take some countermeasures against it. But people think it's about detoxing from graphene. If only that were the worst of it. And again, is it interesting that graphene being a form of carbon, they've made it into a villain. You know, there's a campaign to vilify
carbon. Yeah,
right?
Carbon's
isn't that a coincidence?
Yes.
And now, especially so when you consider that carbon, solubilized carbon, is actually an antidote to oxidative stress or free radicals formed by iron.
Okay, we're going to talk about iron now. Erica found a new paper, another paper, new study, iron induces chronic heart failure. Now, we have spent a couple of programs, and we were first in the world to do this, and we're not bragging, we're just telling you straight. So when you see it other places, they may take our data and twist it. But we've got it pretty well squared away now that the spike protein, among other things, breaks off the iron from the hemoglobin, and the red blood cell can no longer function as a cell carrying oxygen, and the iron is unbound, and it causes all kinds of grief in the body.
That's
so
correct.
Here's another paper.
Iron has to be on a protein. It can't be roaming around freely, or it does a lot of damage.
So here's another paper. These are real deals, and they're there. The information is there. All right.
So
now
iron, it begs the question. We have a lot of people now suffering from myocarditis. More and more people are coming into this, there's more than one, support groups for myocarditis, pericarditis after the injections, which is unfortunate. There seems to be a pattern of people who had one or two shots.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, they're on their third or fourth, and they're starting to have problems. And then they drag themselves to doctor after doctor looking for a diagnosis because they're quite often in just unbearable pain, chest pain, back
physically,
pain, shoulder pain.
Physically hurting all the time.
All the time.
In their chest. It's agonizing. One woman wrote, what did she say? Something about, I don't know how much longer I can tolerate this kind of living. Life or
yeah.
something. The pain was
It's literally unbearable. I mean, to think that you're going to be stuck with this indefinitely, possibly forever, and that's after a year,
right.
Some people almost 18 months.
Okay.
But quite often, they will have several scans done, MRIs, CT scans,
uh-huh.
and troponin levels tested, which would be an indication of heart damage. And a lot of times, these tests come out normal. They cannot find anything wrong. But maybe they're not looking at the right thing because sometimes, the damage can be what they call subradiographic. It's not going to show up on a scan, at least initially, probably not until
right.
there's either significant inflammation or some kind of scar tissue, which will be the end result of all this. But iron could cause chest pain. So I don't know. I suspect not, based on what Nurse Ann has told us, that nobody's really looking at people's blood and this overload of iron that's occurring in the tissues.
Yes, black blood means no oxygen, among other things.
Yeah, it's damaged. It is not
performing.
Every
patient who's been shot up, according to Nurse Ann and others, has black or very damn near black blood, which clots immediately upon removal from the body and a blood draw, and good luck. It's like sludge. Okay, now we've got another character named Todd Callender. He's an attorney. He's not a scientist. He's not a doctor. He's an attorney, and he's rambling on now. He's almost like he's been chosen to introduce another new villain in addition to graphene oxide, etc., transhumanism, 5G, hydrogels, biological AI parasites. And now we have cesium-137. So let me tell you first, should I play the video first or tell them where cesium-137 is coming from?
Why don't you get through the video, get that pain out of the way.
Here's the video. This is an attorney, Todd Callender, telling us all about cesium-137. 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
I love it. It's true. And what I wanted to impart, there's a couple things, and one of them that Dr. Vliet just hit on. But we've really got to embrace, we got to understand this is one of many vectors of death that is being pursued against humanity. We're in the middle of a genocide, whether it's a genocide by the shots or the death camps we call hospitals or a nuclear exchange is almost immaterial. We're under attack.
No, it's quite material. Quite material, Todd. I beg to differ. In fact, I don't beg at all. I differ.
As a species. And part of that is to genetically modify us, which is what I'm actually arguing over in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. But that genetic modification, by the way, is dependent on hydrogel. This is something created by DARPA. And in hydrogel, in the last week, we've come to find the most secret and key ingredient in it is cesium-137.
As a scientist, Erica, what did he just say? And where's the proof?
Well, that's just it. It's fine to make these claims, but where's the proof? You know, I as I've said before, they're not using hydrogel in these injections. Nobody's found hydrogel. It's not the same as lipid nanoparticles. They're using these kind of interchangeably and rather casually.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
I wanted to get with Dr. Vliet about it. I think she's just become aware of this. This is a radioactive material, and it's in the hydrogel that is also now being included in insulin. So they're putting it in all injectables.
So all of you people with diabetes out there taking insulin, what was your reaction to that? Uh-oh, oh my God, my insulin is radioactive. All right, you see, this is all about fear. There's no proof being offered here. Declarative statements are not scientific proof.
All injectables, whether that's your tetanus shot or insulin, they are uploading into people the operating system. That's what this whole COVID thing was about, was how to install the hydrogel, how to install the lipid nanoparticles.
So you're saying that you believe there's cesium-137 in the hydrogels?
Yes, that's right. It's in the hydrogels, and the hydrogels are being put in effectively all injectables. So what we've also come to find is that 5G can't work without cesium-137. And if you were to look for it...
What? 5G cannot work without cesium-137. That is a whopper. Wow. So 5G, 4G, 3G... all the cell phone frequencies you could want, 5G can't work without cesium-137, apparently in the body of the person with the phone using 5G. I think that's what he's saying.
at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Now, he said nuclear, and that is a mispronunciation of the word nuclear. And I've always been irked by people who cannot pronounce nuclear.
They have been tracking cesium-137 levels in people across the world, as has the WHO, the UN.
Oh, we really trust the WHO, don't we? And the WEF and the UN. Three impeccable sources to cite, Attorney Callender. Excellent.
Every government effectively. And what we've also come to find, thanks to Lisa, who's a researcher on our team, is that there is a direct correlation between the cesium levels and the outbreaks of COVID. Cesium binds...
And where's the proof of this? Never mind.
That's what I'm asking.
Never mind the proof.
Human tissue. In fact, it binds to all biologic materials, and it effectively turns them into transistors and amplifiers.
Oh, I got to back up on this one. Hold on. This is too good.
COVID. Cesium binds to human tissue. In fact, it binds to all biologic materials, and it effectively turns them into transistors and amplifiers. It turns people or whatever cells, living beings, living bodies, into amplified antenna. The sending and receiving of signals amplified by virtue of this bonding of this component, this element, cesium-137. So that's what we found is the link between 5G and the installation of the hardware, as Moderna put it.
Got it, ladies and gentlemen? It's cesium-137. Well,
now, am I to understand that this has replaced graphene?
Oh, no, it's just another player. It's another player. They're throwing them all out there. They're just burying us with these villains. Cesium-137 binds to all living things. You heard him. It binds to all living tissues. Well, that may be true. But cesium-137 and cesium-134 have been coming over the north part of, let's call it the entire northern hemisphere. Let's just circle the globe. We keep it simple. Cesium-137 and 134 are coming to us 24 hours a day, either in the North Pacific Current or the evaporated moisture from the ocean, which we call clouds and storm systems, or the jet stream from Fukushima for over 10 years. It is deposited on the ground through rainstorms. It goes into the ground. It becomes part of the plants, the vegetable life. It becomes part of the animal life because they're eating the vegetables and the grasses. They're getting cesium-137 too. Cesium-137 is not going to be hard to find in anyone. But this gentleman is suggesting that it is part and parcel and only found in what are called hydrogels. That's what he's saying. That they're
and
in the hydrogels.
It's virtually in all injectables and has been in all injectables for some time.
No, you're eating cesium-137, you're drinking it in the cow's milk because they're eating the grass, which is coming up through soil that is being rained upon with cesium-137, 134, and strontium and all manner of things that are being spewed out by the melted reactors at Fukushima. Okay, so this is a very clever way. They can take anyone into a lab and test them and probably come up with cesium-137. But it's not from the hydrogels. We've been involved with this issue of uptaking 137 for over 10 years. It's everywhere. They found it in dairy cattle within 1 week of the explosion at Fukushima, or one of them blew up anyway. A couple melted, one blew. Nonetheless, they have found it in dairy cattle milk in New England within a week of the blast, the initial blast at Fukushima. That's how quickly the radiation made it all the way across and began its circumnavigating of the northern hemisphere around the planet.
Yep, I remember.
Okay, so there's another one for you. It's those damned hydrogels that are carrying cesium-137. Never mind Fukushima. Never mind that it's well entrenched in our entire environment and ecology here. Never mind any of that. Okay, now, another question. Why is it that some people get the shot, the bioweapon, that was put together under contract by Pfizer and Moderna for the Department of Defense, according to the Pfizer documents that were released? Why do some of the people who are vaxxed seem to be okay. Well, Ryan Cole has an answer for that, and it's a very interesting answer. Now, there are people who have taken 5 and 6 shots, maybe more. But let's find out what Dr. Ryan Cole has to say about this.
Where a lot of people dodged a bullet and a potential harm is when people lined up in stadiums or outside and had these vaccination clinics, these vials weren't kept cold, and those fats turned into a glob of mush and the RNA broke down into nothing. So you got a shot of mush, which you're lucky, very lucky, because it wasn't kept cold. And so the other thing too is each vial from different lots is not the same concentration. When you stir lipid nanoparticles, polyethylene glycol, and mRNA sequences, you can't agitate it quickly. But when that happens, the lipids kind of float to the top. Now you have thousands of vials going across an assembly line, spitting out the content. And the first couple thousand vials get a very dilute solution. You're not getting a lot of dose of mRNA or lipid. But then at the end of that batch, now you have some very concentrated lipid and mRNA. So in each manufacturing run of this very poor manufacturing process, which has lots of debris and lots of vials and all these heebie-jeebies and creepy things, are mostly manufacturing debris. And that's, again, what some of the mass spec...
Contaminants. Remember when the hydro... Well, what was it? What were the names of these things?
Oh, that was the Hydra.
But there was another name for it. I can't remember now. All right, so we got Hydra, and what he's talking about is shoddy manufacturing. And we call that, Erica called it immediately. So that's a contaminant, and it was. So good job, Ryan Cole. All right. Anything to add real quick? We'll go back.
Nope, go ahead.
Debris. And that's, again, what some of the mass spec we've looked at.
Okay, I'm going to go back because he said debris. Debris is contamination. Debris is the result of shitty manufacturing.
Heebie-jeebies and creepy things are mostly manufacturing debris. And that's, again, what some of the mass spec we've looked at has shown. You know, it's from stainless steel vats, it's from aluminum seals, it's from gaskets, etc. It's from crushed glass. A good manufacturing process in a drug development process takes years, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years until you have a product pure enough that you can repeat every single time that it comes off the line that it's the same thing. You saw in that early European Medicine Agency last year, 50% pure. It's supposed to be a 99%+ pure product. That tells you everything you need to know right there. As a pathologist, having looked at a lot of these, the more we look at, it's bad manufacturing. But a lot of people are lucky because of that.
A lot of people are lucky because of bad manufacturing. Now, I can see that with one injection, maybe two, but the odds are very long. You'd be lucky twice. You get 4 or 5 shots, and I don't think you have much luck left.
I would agree. You're pushing it. But it is a tricky manufacturing process to get that mRNA, the strand of nucleotides, to be stable long enough to endure the transportation and storage, and then to be injected and then make it into the cell to get the protein production.
Right. Okay. Now we have another video. I'm definitely going to get this one in. It's Dr. Sukrit Bhakti. This is a 2-minute video. A virologist, a brilliant man, professor of microbiology, and here he is.
I came to this conference, which is a first, because I felt the need to do so, since things are developing along such alarming lines by the WHO, CDC, FDA, all the authorities are now pushing for gene-based vaccines to replace all other vaccines, which are...
That means all vaccines will be replaced with an mRNA platform. Got it? Gene-based.
In circulation in the world, measles, mumps, rubella, you name it, you have it, flu. And when we heard this, we said, oh my God, that's what we've been fearing since June, which when I voiced my first concern that this is probably coming. What is being done now is that the corona vaccine is gradually coming into disfavor because people are seeing that there are serious adverse events. So what is now being done is attention is being drawn away from the vaccines themselves being the culprit to the spike protein. And they say, oh, it's because the corona vaccine encodes the spike and the spike is dangerous and blah, blah, blah. Now, that this spike protein is dangerous, no question, it's correct. But don't get off the track, people. You must realize that every gene-based vaccine is going to be dangerous, and that's why I'm here. What people don't realize is that these antibodies that are created because of the vaccination are not there to intercept the entry of the virus, because the virus doesn't come into the blood. It comes through the front door of the hotel, and the antibodies are simply not there. They are not there. That's why all these vaccinations against corona and also, by the way, influenza, flu, cannot work, could never have worked, will never work. The only thing they can do is they can kill you.
Okay, all true. mRNA platform vaccines are coming, and they're all going to have their own specific and unique ways of taking life apart. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's a really, I just a very inappropriate platform. It should be stopped. Not full speed ahead. Stopped, banned. So the fact that it keeps going, I that's...
Well, there's an agenda here. There's no question about it. And these people, I suspect that Dr. Bhakti knows that full well. I suspect Dr. Cole knows that full well. I suspect that La Cucu Columna even knows it. But they're on an agenda. They're pushing an agenda. So is this attorney Callender. Clearly. It's now cesium-137 being hidden in hydrogels. No, cesium-137 is already here. It's been here for 10 years. We're all being exposed to it all the time. Hydrogels, that's a different story. All of these links are, by the way, all of these links are under our names and guests tonight. You can look at them all in your own due time. They're there for you. So write them down, copy them, cut and paste them. They're all there. Go ahead.
I'm not questioning or debating whether or not this transhumanist technology is out there and all these gene-based, whatever it is they want to do. That's, you know, if there's a patent for it, yeah, that it's out there. But that doesn't mean that that's what's in these shots or that's what they're doing. This is a massive distraction. And it's not very helpful.
Well, when they tell us that, you heard La Cucu say that it's all graphene oxide. He just rattled off a list of things. Everything to do with the spike protein is now being laid on graphene oxide.
It's incredible. It appeals to people that have a linear thought, cause and effect. It's a simple answer, simple explanation. They've never heard of graphene, so therefore, sure, it could be capable of all these unpleasant symptoms they're experiencing.
Listen to our earlier programs about iron and look at the paper there. It's a real solid piece of further proof that iron can induce all kinds of terrible things in the body. So when it becomes separated from the hemoglobin, and the red blood cells, it is unbound and it is running wild in the body.
And feeding whatever bacteria you're harboring, whatever viruses you're harboring, parasites, these things all feed on iron. They need iron to replicate. So there was a comment in one of the groups earlier this week, this woman continues to have these shedding sicknesses and went to the doctor and believes that her blood turned septic during these bouts of shedding sickness. And she has an overgrowth of candida along with other symptoms. And that is very likely the result of this unbound iron wreaking havoc.
I don't know how we are going to wake people up when this is a full-scale war of disinformation now. And the social media groups are being penetrated, many of them, by hostile people who are paid professionals. It's like they called their A-listers up, and they're sending those around now to try to discredit these groups, redirect them away from where people were reporting en masse. What was happening?
Yeah, you can spot them, but these are polished. These are polished professionals.
Very
you can
slick.
Tell.
Yeah, no,
very
they're,
slick.
They're class A. Okay, that was a lot of information for you, but I hope you'll go and take another look if you're interested. The links are there for you. Listen to Dr. Cole again. Listen to Dr. Bhakti again. Listen to all of them again, and especially the La Cuckoo Columna. I've never seen anything like that before. Never. I really haven't. It's like they just took everything we know and mixed it up, threw in a bunch of new words, and then blamed it all on graphene oxide, which,
yeah.
Again, has not been located or found in any vials by a number of efforts. What was the German group?
And that's the part that the alt news population is not allowed to hear.
It's not findable. It hasn't been found. And
that's
yet
right.
There are people claiming there are a number of scientists who have found it. Well, I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. Look at the studies that we have posted. The German group, for example.
They took the time to actually write and publish. There's a couple others. Dr. Kevin McCarron also has looked at these, and as well as a couple other individuals that I know personally that quite reputable. It's not in there. And again, even if it was, it would not be doing what these people are claiming it's doing.
It's like the young lady on Beef Stew's show saying that there are no spike proteins.
Right.
They're biological AI parasites now. There are no spike proteins.
Right.
Never mind that Dr. Arne Burkhardt in Germany and his staff, who have now done autopsies on over 100 people, have found spike proteins in virtually every major organ in the body.
Yes, from people that have died not long after the vax. They can prove that the spike protein destroyed these organs.
It's right there. Now, that's proof, and we have that publication. It's all there. Okay, that's going to have to do it for tonight. We will be back Friday and give this another look, but hopefully that was enough to keep all of you thinking about the quality of information you're being fed on many of the alt news platforms. It is very tightly controlled now, and this is a major war of disinformation. Graphene oxide. Oh, no. Cesium-137 and hydrogels. No, no, it's already here. It's been here for 10 years. We all have it. Okay, anything you want to add to this?
No, I think that does it. There is it's a very concerted effort right now to keep the focus off of the spike, to discredit the issue of shedding, to minimize or belittle it.
And ivermectin?
And ivermectin, right. The things that, you know, one of the things we know is effective for this, shedding.
Shedding is real. Be careful. Common sense. And even if it weren't, isn't it better to err on the side of caution? Be conservative about things. It is there. Exhalation or direct contact. And especially if someone has just gotten boosted.
We really don't know what it is yet. I mean, we believe, and
no.
It probably is the spike, but there are probably other things. And what are the long-term
yes.
consequences of that exposure? We don't know.
They had a technique. They had a plan to get that 20% that they weren't going to bother giving the vaccine to, the bioweapon to, and that technique was shedding. They knew it.
Yeah.
They had it planned.
Yeah.
That's my view. I think Eric agrees. And all right, so all of you out there, you know how to protect yourselves. Common sense. Just be careful. And if you're working around people or having to work next to people who are vaxxed, just keep in mind that they are potentially a problem for you. I'll be real kind and conservative in my statements. Okay, thank you all for listening. Thanks for being here, Erica, as always. Talk to you soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back later.